So this is our first ever episode of Free to Be.
Yeah, very excited to be here and doing this.
Absolutely.
Part of a long journey that we've been on together, isn't it?
We have been having, and I'm sure you've been talking about the nature of freedom longer than 10 years, but we have been having a conversation about what is freedom for the last decade. Hmm. And I guess this podcast is the continuation of that conversation of what does it mean to be free and what gets in the way of us living free to be, what impacts our church cultures and stops our church cultures being places of freedom, and actually what impacts our personal lives and stops us living in all the abundance of freedom that is actually ours in the gospel.
Yeah, I think we've had so many conversations, which we've had great conversations and enjoyed our friendship over these last 10 years or so. Yeah, I think it's great to be able to do this and actually, you know, put those conversations out there in a broader context, so yes, that people can start to grapple with the things that we've been grappling with for a length of time. And as you say, for me, it went back much further than 10 years, but it's something very much that we've, I think, been more open conversations about the nature of freedom and what that means during yes, that time.
And I guess a question that's gripping me, impacting me, provoking me, is why are so many Christians bored with the church? I mean, there's Christians in the church that are kind of going through the motions with little expectation, faithful, but not a lot of expectation of anything being different. And I think we've spoken about so many believers who are, I guess they wouldn't say they're bored with the church, but disenchanted with the church, and they're not even connected to any kind of expression of local body of Christ.
No, I think that is a challenge, that there's a lot of what I call unchurched Christians around at the moment who I think definitely love God and will want to serve him, be intimate with him, will want to even tell others about him, do you see what I mean? But they've got haven't got a context of community and discipleship that's sort of a growing biblical one because of some of their experiences that's, I think, made them fearful about it, to be honest,
yes,
and driven them away from it, sort of where there's a lack of trust, in all honesty, in church leaders.
And I remember back, it was actually 15 years ago, my wife and I, we had arrived back from Denmark and we were given the opportunity to lead a very small community in a market town in Essex. And it was a little church full of really faithful, wonderful, beautiful people who had kept this church going for 2 years, pretty much on their own. And there was a week that changed everything. So we'd been at the church for a year. And I guess I wouldn't have described myself as I'm bored with the church. I mean, no leader, if you went up to them and said, how's your church going?
Boring.
I'm bored.
wouldn't be good.
No. But I would say I was faithful, doing what was expected of a leader, but really tired. And my expectation levels were not huge. I mean, we at that point hadn't seen a visitor come to the church for 2 years.
Wow.
So it was good
tough.
People. Yeah. And there was just this week that turned everything around, that it really was revolved around a meeting with Julian Adams, a prophet. And one of the meetings in that week, oil appeared in my hands and a real sense of God's called you to the miraculous. Friday night, my wife and I were in a meeting and he prophesied over us everything that God had ever said about us and everything for the future. We just came alive. A non-believer was in that meeting, got healed, prophesied over, became a believer. And all that happened in 1 week. And I can only say it was a week that blew the lid off, but it was a week with Holy Spirit. Rochelle and I, my wife, we could not sleep for 3 months. And we'd have to say it was because we had been with Jesus in the most profound way that just, if there was any apathy, boredom, predictability, that all went.
It suddenly disappeared.
And the church changed. 6 months later, we were having new people visit every month for a year. Holy Spirit, around about a year later, sudden manifestation of the presence of God in a new way. We became a place where people were coming to get refreshed. Still a small church, but we were alive, full of expectation.
So you had life, basically. I think the Bible, the Bible refers to places where actually it talks about saying, having some religious practices, but denying the power of it, you know, that actually that the sense of I think a powerless church is not a very attractive church, and it you know, in one sense, boring. And so it goes back to you know, if we're talking about freedom, what's the definition of freedom? For me, it says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So actually, yes, freedom is defined by the presence of God. So his essence is freedom, and also he is an infinite and eternal God. Therefore, there's no end to the discovery of who he is. So freedom is not a limited concept, which I think is what a lot of Christians get stuck in. They get stuck in the free from bit rather than the free to be bit, yeah, which is what we want to explore.
And I've heard you say that, you know, God is infinite, God is eternal. And I'd love to know what that looks like in your life. What kind of adventures do you have with Holy Spirit, who is God, that means that your experience of Christianity really never becomes boring?
I guess it's a fundamental, simple belief that I believe he's got more for me today than he had for me yesterday. So people, sometimes I hear the question, well, how much do you expect of God? I said, well, I don't put a limit on it because he's infinite, but my practical reality is I expect more today than I experienced yesterday, because
right.
So what I've experienced up to this point in time isn't the limit. But I think a lot of Christians, they're aware of, you know, there are new mercies every day, but they tend to think of that as actually there's constant forgiveness rather than actually there's constant adventure, you know. So it goes back to, you're going to get some more mercy today because you're going to need it, rather than, right, look at this to explore.
So out of I'm just surviving,
yeah,
to I'm being catapulted on an adventure with God. Because I remember back in that plant, there were good things that we did. Mm. And it's good to, we built a website, and it was good to look at how do you grow a church from, actually, we were 17 to believing for a church of 50. And there were things you can do, and all that is,
yeah,
important. But I have to say, a lot of it was about what I could do. And when you say, I believe there's more today than there was yesterday, because he's infinite and eternal, that's not what my experience was. Until that week, I felt like it was on the coal face. It, making or breaking it completely depended upon my skill set. I mean, that was where my mindset was. It was very limited.
Yeah, I think when you think that the success of your Christianity is dependent upon your own efforts, actually, Galatians 3, it says that that's foolish. It says, are you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It's strong language, really. You know, so you know, and it says, are you trying to attain your goal by human effort? And that is the foolishness of a lot of Christianity, is that to try and do it without the Holy Spirit is actually, Paul says it's actually foolish. And he goes on to ask the question, though, do you receive the Spirit because you obey the law or because you believe? And that's what faith is. So faith is I call it the currency of the kingdom. It's actually how you actually take hold of the resources, because they're there. You know, I think most Christians believe that God's an infinite God, but they have no idea how to connect to those infinite resources in an ongoing way. So that ability to live that life in the Spirit every day, which is what Paul says, actually, live by the Spirit, you know, not it's not just a human endeavor, but there's human responsibility within it to actually connect with God. And that's what I think it's all about, is I find freedom, he's freedom, therefore I connect to him, and I find more and more, you know, ways of that freedom being expressed.
And I would say this, be honest with myself, there was a lot of foolishness. And I think why Paul is not talking in Galatians to a bunch of people who are just hearing the gospel. They know the gospel, they've flipped into it. And there's other translation, who's bewitched you? Yeah. You know, you've lost your mind, you've gone mad, you've slipped into thinking you can do it. Mm. I didn't slip into thinking I could do it in the early church plant. Actually, I didn't know any other way. Yeah. What I understood was, people grow numerical churches, which was actually the limit of my expectation.
Yeah.
My goal was how many people I could get on seats. That was the extent of the adventure. And it would all depend on whether or not I could master certain skills. Mm. And particularly at the time, could I master the skill of being a great communicator? Because I understood that churches that were growing had single voice communicators, and that was what I was going for.
Yeah.
And you're saying, actually, there's infinite possibilities simply through believing that God will be who he says he'll be.
Yeah, and infinite possibilities for every believer, not just the leaders. So when I look out at my congregation, I think, whoa, look at the possibilities. Yes. Rather than this all depends upon me, which is where so many church leaders, they get burnt out, really, they just keep going. But if you think, I am a leader because I've got a gift of leadership.
Right.
I didn't earn it. I didn't sort of, now I've learned how to use it, be faithful with it, so it's developed as a skills of it. But everybody in my congregation who's born again, they have the same Holy Spirit inside them. And the Bible tells me clearly that everyone has a manifestation for the common good. So again, that's another part of the excitement for me. It's not just what adventures
what
I'm having.
What are you going to do?
It's actually what can we do together? It breaks me out of an individual mindset. So, you know, when I started leading a church of 25 adults, 10 kids, I thought, wow, look at the possibilities here. Not, oh my goodness, how am I going to make this work? It was, now I had a sense of responsibility. And I think in the beginning I did flip into a bit of human effort, which I soon realised actually was futile.
Yes.
I wasn't getting anything done, apart from running around. So I had to readjust myself quite early in church leadership because I was thrust into it. And I thought, that's not working. And how have I done it throughout life, which is, you know, because I became a Christian, Christians do life, they don't do church. You know, we're part of a church. We're part of church. So I just thought, okay, well, this is how I do life. That's how I've done church as well, because I think Jesus came to give us life in all its fullness. Okay. And then as you get more people, you think, wow, you know, all these people, if they're free to be creative.
All this multiplication of possibilities.
Where it can go is, and we're taught to preach gospel of the kingdom, not just a simple gospel of salvation to get people there, but actually that their lives will then be impacting the world around them, and you know the kingdom will advance. That's excitement.
Yeah, because what you're touching there is that there's so much possibility because of the people in the room. Holy Spirit's in them. He is catapulting them into adventures. They're learning their identity. They're doing great things. And it's not all about the one leader, the two leaders, whatever, trying to get these people, well, trying to get them to give, trying to get them to serve, trying to get them to attend. And I would say after that week, like I said, that really changed so much. So from that week, with the Holy Spirit, we were suddenly reading John Wimber. We came across When Heaven Invades Earth from Bill Johnson in Bethel. We started to listen to the podcast. And it was a year later we met.
Yes.
I went to a Chris Gore conference that you were hosting. And my friend David Pike from Cardiff introduced us.
Yeah.
And you told me about a meeting that you were beginning to... You were going to kick off in New Ash Green.
Yeah.
And I got the details. And I was so excited because in one sense, I'd been on this adventure for a year, but suddenly I'm finding there's a bunch of people who are believing for the miraculous, are believing for healing, who are believing for actually a creative expression of engaging with God, people who are alive. So I was excited about this meeting in New Ash Green, and it started at 10:30. So I went by train. I left at 7:30 and I turned left at Longfield station instead of right, which pretty much just led me into a farmer's field.
Yes, yes.
Thinking,
I can picture it now.
Could this meeting be meeting in a barn? I thought it's possible, but it wasn't there. So I remember running across the field thinking, I do not want to miss this meeting, and eventually arriving at a whole parade of derelict shops, just abandoned, with your officers, community church as it was then, above these shops, and going in, and I think there were 12 people in the room. The first person I met was Kim Carter, your wife. I was red hot because I just run up the hill. I'd been running a mile and a half.
I remember you're right.
I don't want to miss this meeting. I was really excited about being there. And it was such a simple meeting. We met on these old sofas that had rips in them. There were 12 people. There was some sharing good news, some prophetic encountering God. It just felt alive and fresh. And I was just gripped by this.
Yeah. Well, I think in one sense, your story tells itself a bit, that your hunger, wasn't it? That you were hungry for whatever God had. An expectation was within you. And that was true for all of us, really. Actually, I think all in that room had this strange new expectation. And I was running the meeting, and I just have a very simple way of doing it. Like I said, I only have one way, I think, really, of doing Christianity, which is in the spirit, understanding the Bible, you know, because it's God's word given to us. It's God's spirit. You know, he is God inside me. If he's inside me and he wants to flow out like the river, we say, well, exciting things will happen. Also, I love the idea that because he wants to do, he says, more than we could ask or imagine through his power at work within us. I think sometimes people think, oh, yeah, of course God could do more than we ask or imagine. You know, but that's, so acknowledge that, of course, because he's God. But it doesn't finish there. It says he'll do that through his power at work within us. You think, so if I've never imagined it, there's got to be surprises. And that's why it should never be boring as well. You think, so if I didn't know what that meeting was going to be like. It was not pre-planned. But we're going to meet with God. And with each other, and the expectation is then, you know, again, my friend and yours, Julian Adams, actually loves this phrase, is our expectation is God's invitation. And God came in the room and he did stuff. And when he meets with people, they are changed.
Yes.
Like you were during that week, you know, people. And then we just found friendship. I think we found a common reality that we were pursuing together. And there is that beautiful thing of actually, you know, when brothers dwell together in unity, you get the blessing. And we started to experience something of friendship, the activity of God. We were surprised and, we've carried on.
Because there's lots of great wisdom about how to grow a meeting.
Yeah.
If you're talking about meetings and it's all good. I mean, environment is a good thing. Beautiful, excellent environments are a great thing. It's really great to have a staff of men and women who are passionate building local church together. That's really great. It's actually great to see a growing church numerically. But sometimes we have this mindset, we think, if I'm going to build something successful, I'm going to look at human resources, human wisdom. If I can get enough of those, I can build something. But honestly, this meeting had none of it. It's abandoned shop, 12 people. Old sofas,
yeah,
but with an expectation, God's here.
Yeah, and I think God's here. Where the Holy Spirit is, you know, there is freedom. So we're starting to explore that. We were free to become all God had got in front of us. And I think this is the key, you know, thing we're trying to get across in this podcast is that Jesus set us free from our past, from our sin, and that's. Very relevant, but it's not actually the adventure of life. He'd set us free from that in order to be free to be all he called us to be. And I think that's we will explore that more and more, is that when Christianity becomes a trying to remain free from, then it becomes very stagnant, unexciting, religious, and it usually starts to get rules and regulated. And instead of you mustn't do that, don't be careful not to do that. Whereas the Bible actually teaches us to be careful to do everything that God set in front of us. You know, that's where when in the book of Joshua, basically, he says, right, be careful to do everything, you know, rather than be careful, don't do much. You know, so I think there's a lot of, I would say, human wisdom that has invaded church leadership thinking, which is cautious based rather than be careful, you know, avoid the failures, watch out for this, watch out for that. You know, keep them okay and, you know, be safe. Well, I don't think Christianity is designed to be safe. Jesus wasn't safe, was he?
No. And all the idea that if I'm going to see adventures with God, I need to become more. That, like you were mentioned with Galatians, how did you receive the Spirit? How did God work miracles amongst you? Was it the works, which actually we're going to do in another podcast, or was it just the hearing of faith, believing? See, I'm sitting here and I'm a bit, it's profound, because the simplicity of what was modeled in that little room, and if I'm honest, the simplicity in which actually what you did in a room of 12, I've seen you do in a room of 600-700, no different. Enough, it's this anticipation, expectation, faith in Holy Spirit and his goodness and his willingness, his compassion and mercy, his presence.
Yeah, again, that's what it comes back to, is that freedom is there. And, you know, and it also says the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. The truth will set you free. So that's, and Galatians 5 verse 1 gives us a very straightforward mandate and a warning. It says it was for freedom that Christ set you free. Therefore, don't allow yourselves to be, you know, caught, you know, bound up in slavery once again. So there's a very clear reality there. And I think we see the history of Christianity was that, you know, that the devil will oppose the gospel. He can't stop me being born again, but he can sow lies and accusations and all those sorts of things into my life that will make me ineffective as a Christian. My eternal salvation is secure if I'm born again. That's not, but my effectiveness on planet Earth is one to be fought for. And freedom is not something that is just free, easy. It's so vitally important that you fight for it, and that's what you see in the book of Galatians, where, you know, Paul fought against everyone that was basically, he said, acting hypocritically, like Peter. You know, like, what, you post him face to face and said, this isn't in line with the truth of the gospel. I think you have to be very determined that this is vitally important. It's not just a side issue. Galatians doesn't allow us to think it's a side issue.
Yes, because over years, I guess, 3 years, more and more people started to come along to New Ash Green. You moved offices slightly bigger.
A bit nicer offices, slightly nicer upper room.
Still those old sofas.
We still had the same sofas. We didn't buy any more sofas.
And more people started to come. I think there's about 50 of us, as much as the room could take. You were developing this place, Eastgate, and then we moved here, and I think upstairs there was 120-odd people suddenly the first month. You know, more people were finding freedom, finding a place of encountering Holy Spirit. And I remember we sat in a room over lunch and we said, actually, what was it we found? And that's really, people began to say what we experienced in that place was freedom.
Yeah,
that's really what we were experiencing, freedom that the gospel, the good news, what Jesus died to give us, we were experiencing more of that.
Yeah, it was interesting. Once we got this building, Eastgate, which obviously we've gone away from our tatty sofas, we've got a magnificent building now, we really have, but it's not a magnificent building if God's not present in it. It's a building, do you see what I mean? But quite soon on after having this building, we have people wander in and they say, wow, you can feel the freedom in this place. Now, that got me intrigued because I was thinking, what are you feeling? How do you feel freedom? It was a phrase that made me think some more. So you're telling me you can feel freedom. That's a really interesting statement, isn't it?
It is. So what we're saying is, where the Holy Spirit is Lord, the manifestation of that is an experience of freedom, because he is freedom.
Yeah. And it cries out with inside to our spirits. Our spirits were born again to be free, you know. And there's something that resonates inside a Christian when they find that place. It's like, this is it. This is. And so I think people were attracted and They couldn't express it another way. Not quite sure. So I don't know what it is. I got a story of in church life. One Sunday, this lady came up to me, and she said, "Oh, hello." I said, "Hello." She said, "I can talk to you, can't I?" I said, "Yeah, of course you can." And then she reached across and said, "I can touch you, can't I?" I said, "If you like, I don't know." She said, "This is amazing." I said, "Why is it amazing?" She said, "Well, in my previous church, we couldn't do that." I said, "We've been coming here 6 months. The first Sunday I came here, I experienced freedom." She said, "I loved it. I experienced freedom." And this was just, she turned up on a Sunday, came to our Sunday morning meeting. She said, "But we had no idea how to live in it." And she said, "It's taken me 6 months to get my courage up to come and talk to you."
So you're talking there, I guess, about a culture, the natural lived out behaviour, how we do things around here. So Holy Spirit is Lord. The manifestation is freedom.
Yeah.
I don't quite understand how you do things around here. I've got to adjust to freedom.
So I think it's a fascinating story. She said, you know, she was frightened of church leaders. She really was. And then she actually said it took her 6 months to overcome those fears. And being in the freedom, develop into that place where, she and I have got a great relationship now. We just laugh and joke about it in one sense. And she became fruitful. But that's the sort of journey that we're trying to help people understand, that so many Christians are enslaved by fear, by guilt, by shame, and also by structure, church structures, where they don't feel this freedom. And I believe we've got to help create churches where freedom is the culture.
Yes, because you mentioned earlier on that if you look out at a congregation and all these people in relationship with God and really all that infinite possibilities, mm-hmm. what they could, who they could be free to be or are free to be, that requires deliberate and intentional culture to enable them to flourish and be free to be. Because like I say, if, it'd be good to chat a bit about what that freedom is an amazing thing. Holy Spirit is a freedom giver. So why on earth either do we drift from him mm-hmm. into really, I guess, the mundane and the boring and the predictable? Or why is it that we talk to leaders, church leaders, so many church leaders wouldn't even think of Holy Spirit being the first port of call to build a great church?
Well, I think it's if you read through the Bible, again, it tells that story throughout, you know, the ages. And you know, I read the book of Exodus. I know when I was 20, God spoke to me about a call to lead millions of people to freedom. I didn't know what that meant. You know, I thought, I'm sounding a bit presumptuous in one sense. And he gave me the model of Moses. He said, that your model that I want you to look at biblically is Moses. And I read the book of Exodus, and I find it staggering and staggering, frustrating and fascinating that, you know, the Israelites, who had these most extraordinary experiences of God to set them free from slavery, how quickly they want to go back to Egypt.
Yeah.
You think it's staggering.
Yeah, you haven't had a day off for a long time.
Yeah.
You're whipped when you don't make enough bricks.
Yeah.
You've got no possession.
Nothing.
You can't cultivate. You can't plant. These houses are not yours.
Yeah. No control over your life.
No. Basically, you're a human machine
yeah.
for a huge
nation. And then you get set free by you know, the plagues, you know, God's on your side, the Red Sea, you've got deliverance, you've got manna, you've got, you know, extraordinary. Every day they're experiencing a supernatural God, and yet somehow that's attractive. And that made me, what is it in our psyche that draws us back towards slavery? And that's, again, that's a big question to try and explore.
Yes, and the distorted memories of the past,
yeah.
that somehow what we had there was freedom because we had garlic.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we thought, like that, we had some cucumbers.
Milk and honey, your own land.
Yeah.
It's all coming. Yeah. We want garlic.
And then I think you get, you know, again, and just a sort of a highlight, when they get to the edge of the promised land, because I regard the book of Exodus as a sort of a training program. But
right.
And remember, they didn't lose the promised land until the book of Numbers, when the spies went in. And so they actually even got to taste of the promised land. You know, they brought back the grapes, you know, whacking over their shoulders. But what was it that took them away from their promise? It was fear, wasn't it? And a wrong identity. We thought we're grasshoppers, which is that false humility, which I think is a massive challenge to freedom. I really do. And we'll talk more about that in later episodes. But this idea of, oh, we're not really big people. They've got those giants there. Those giants are too big for us, and we're just grasshoppers, you know. And God looks upon that, and his commentary on that is not favourable. You know, he said, I've done all this, you know, all this, and these people still don't believe.
And it really brings almost the podcast right round in a circle, because Caleb, it says, he's a man of a different spirit.
Yeah.
Because really he believed that when he looked, he said, surely they're bred to us. He had a different way, a different perspective. He believed that God was going to give them into their hands, and it was possible. And I think that's one of the reasons we drift is that unbelief thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I look out at the church. I have a kind of fix-it mentality culture. I think I've got to fix all these people.
Yeah.
Or I look at them and think they're sinners.
Yeah.
Or I might look at them and think, yeah, you know what? We could really do something, as Steve Backlund says, if we had, you know, 15, 16 different people, world changers, not seeing them as world changers.
Yeah.
So this whole thing of, I believe in who God says I am, who God says we are, and the resources that are available. I want to land with this. I love when you this illustration that you give about that it's not the size of the container, mm-hmm. but it's the infinite source.
Yeah, we need to get past the idea of what it means to be filled with the Spirit, because it says God's measure is pressed down and overflowing. So, like with this glass here, you know, if I continually fill this and I don't stop filling it, it will overflow. And then how far can it overflow to? You know, it's actually, it's, if that just, it, so this one glass could flood the world.
Yes.
Because it just, it's not dependent on the, its capacity, it's dependent on the overflow. So it's dependent on the resource. And, you know, it's well, nothing's a complete, the perfect analogy, because we've actually got this river inside us. So if I look at myself as a container, which I am, you know, like a jar of clay, as long as the river is flowing through me and I don't limit that flow, then I can change the world. Any one individual, but not just me as an individual. If I look out upon, like when I started leading the church with 25 people, I thought, well, there's 25 people there. You know, this, put this together as a common resource, we can change the world. But I think that's what happened with your illustration with your church. You suddenly discovered this infinite resource rather than having a lid on it, that I'm trying to produce something with a sense of, again, this illustration where you actually say, I think a lot of Christians think, I get filled up, keep it safe, have a little sip. When I'm feeling a dry, I put the lid back on it, which is actually controlling. So I'm in control of the resources of God. But so, no, this freedom means, woo, this could get messy, could overflow.
And that's really that week that changed everything. It was like the dam cracked and the flow began. Because definitely the mindset was, we can't do anything. We can't do anything until I become more whatever, more charismatic, more impressive, louder, whatever it is that attracts people, or that we are bigger in terms of numerics, or we're in a different resource or a different building. But that's such an exciting illustration, because it means that every believer and every local church has equality of access to infinite possibilities and infinite resource, and really connected to God.
Everybody who's born again has the Spirit of God within them. Same Spirit.
Yes.
You know, I often use this to say that, you know, nobody gets the version that doesn't do miracles. You know, there's not a lesser version of the Holy Spirit. He's God. And I think coming back to that, you know, where he is, there is freedom. Where he is God. You know, so if I believe I've got God inside me, which is a crazy thought, isn't it? You know.
Yes.
But then the world of impossibilities becomes my possibility.
So maybe what we could conclude is, so many Christians are bored with church because maybe our dreams are just way too small.
Yeah, the dreams, the expectations are limited. And I think then disappointed, I think people get disappointed and they raise themselves for hope for breakthrough again. But actually, you know, this is where breaking out from just a freedom from to freedom to be, living in the Spirit with that infinite reality is such an exciting reality, and seeing that communally. So we've got to battle against that slavery mentality that keeps assaulting us, that is an assault of the enemy, and we need to actually know how to overcome that, which is what we'll look at in future episodes.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm ending this first episode excited.
Good.
Yeah, it's invigorating, isn't it, to think, you know what, I just need simply to believe and trust who he is. And that's not a work, that's a gift itself. And in the next episode, we're going to look at really actually what is freedom and why don't we have it? Because we can see that when we have it, anything's possible. So why would it be that we don't have it?
Yeah, it's going to be a good episode.
It will be. To that. Yeah.